and welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and today I'm joined by Michael and Kyle. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Oh, wow. More coffee is required, I think. We're sounding a little sleepy this morning. Anyway, hopefully we'll get pumped up about our topic today. It is NaNoWriMo. And for those of you who don't know, NaNoWriMo stands for National Writing Month, and that happens in November. And I know it's only October, but we're talking about it now in case anyone's interested in participating in NaNoWriMo, and this way you guys know what it's all about. But first, before we get into our big conversation, let's talk about what we're reading this week. So you guys, what have you been up to and what have you been reading this week?
I have no idea what I'm reading, actually. Last thing I read was Vampire Diaries, which is terrible, but I don't know what else. I think I'm still reading Ender's Game, still reading Cuckoo's Calling, still reading...
You couldn't finish the Cuckoo's Calling?
No.
You should just sit down and do it.
I know. I tried last time, but it just... I don't know. It's... I'm lazy.
Oh, my.
Well, I just finished Cress by Marissa Meyer, which I was able to get a copy of. And if anyone is a fan of The Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Meyer, it was so good. You guys don't know. I was reading this book and I was like, I physically can't put this book down. And so if anyone's a fan of The Lunar Chronicles, you have a huge, awesome book ahead of you. And it's really fun. And now I cannot wait for the final book. And I'm so, so glad that I got to read it. But I'm also like, A, I can't really talk about it with anyone. And B, so long until the next one. It's crazy. But yeah.
All right. I haven't really read much again this week. I've been so busy. It's been crazy here. But I do have some new things that I definitely want to get to this week. And I think as soon as we're done recording today, I'm just going to sit down and read. And that'll be the rest of my day, hopefully. No interruptions, just me and a book, maybe some tea or coffee. Because it's kind of gross and raining out here. So it's the perfect day to stay inside and read.
I know. Fall is coming. So that means more days where you're just going to be like, oh, I'm just going to read. Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect. Awesome. Yeah, the leaves are already changing here. So it's definitely that time of year when you just want to like snuggle up to like a fireplace and have something hot to drink and just sit there and read all day. Not that I have a fireplace, but I can swing to something hot to drink. All right, so let's talk a little bit. Our Book Bites topic this week is going to be, you ready? Guilty pleasures. So what are your guilty reading pleasures? Something that you read and maybe don't really talk about too much.
Well, Twilight is one of my guilty pleasures. I actually really like the Twilight series. Like, I like the books a lot. So, like, when someone's, like, talking about Twilight, I'm just, like, hiding in my corner. And, like, I remember there's this one time where I was actually reading the book. And I overheard someone coming, and they're talking about how Twilight sucked, and so I switched the book out for a different book, and they're like, ah, nope! I'm like, so they wouldn't see that I was reading Twilight, because I didn't want them to know that I was reading Twilight.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know.
I wish Marimo was here. She would be making so much fun of you right now.
Oh, I know.
This is true.
Yeah.
So for me, I mean, this is maybe a cop-out answer, but I sometimes feel guilty when I read fan fiction because it's not, I mean, I love fan fiction and like the act of reading fan fiction is not like guilty to me, but sometimes there are like topics, like fan fiction can get very raunchy, let's say. And like, sometimes I'm just like reading it and I'm like, okay, I'm just reading this on my computer in my dining room. Okay. And, so it's not that, like, fan fiction itself makes me feel guilty. It's some of the content. And sometimes not in, like, a inappropriate way, but sometimes, like, they'll just be, like, characterizations where I'm like, this doesn't make any sense, or, like, pairings that make no sense. And yet I'm completely drawn along just because it's, like, the free atmosphere of fan fiction.
So basically Sam and Dean Wincest.
I am not a Supernatural fan, but sure. Oh,
dang it.
So, yeah, sorry.
Well, what do you read on fan fiction? Like, what's your favorite fan fiction to read?
I read a lot of Song of Ice and Fire fan fiction because there's a lot of that now, which is Game of Thrones, if anyone doesn't know. And I actually have this weird pairing that I really kind of like, which is Sansa Stark and Stannis Baratheon, which makes absolutely no sense. And it's weird, and especially if you're just coming from the show, it would make absolutely no sense. But, like, from the books, it's the type of thing where, like, it doesn't make sense, and it's also kind of gross, but in a weird kind of way, I could sort of see how the politics of it could happen, and that's just, like, I don't know, it just took off in my head. And also, anytime there's, like, a Jaime and Brienne fan fiction, I'm all over that.
Okay, then.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
So fan fiction is your guilty pleasure.
Yeah, because you know what, like, I a lot of the time I won't waste time on books that I don't think I'm gonna like, so it's hard for me to find, like, a real book that's a guilty pleasure, but fan fiction is so, like, zero stakes that it's very easy to get into.
Interesting. Okay. I wasn't expecting that. I don't know what I was expecting for you, but I think it's funny that fan fiction is your guilty pleasure. But I understand why. I do.
I don't know why, but I totally thought that would be her thing.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah.
Kyle's just much more intuitive than me this morning. I clearly need more coffee. I think for me, my guilty pleasure is I really like to read, like, romance novels, because they're kind of not like Harlequin, you know what I mean? Like, the traditional, those kinds of romance novels, but, like, ones that have really sassy heroines, and you always know that there's going to be a happily ever after. Like, they're formulaic and whatever, but they're always just really fun and easy to read. So I can sit down and read one of those in, like, 2 hours, and because they're just a quick read, and I really enjoy them because they're just funny and light, and you don't have to think too much about everything that's going on within the story. So that's my guilty pleasure.
I hear that.
They're just fun. I enjoy them.
Oh,
yeah. Not very exciting, I guess. So moving on. Okay, so let's talk about NaNoWriMo. As I said, it's in the month of November. It runs from November 1st to November 30th. And as I said, it's National Writing Month. So the idea is that you can participate in NaNoWriMo through their website, which we will put the link in the post about. And with NaNoWriMo, it's basically the idea that you will write a 50,000-word novel by the end of the month. And then if you do that, you get, like, a certificate saying that you completed, and, like, badges and stuff along the way. So the idea is to kind of cultivate the culture of writing with an everyday person. You don't have to be a novelist to do this. It's just kind of for fun. They also have a young writers camp where they set their own word goals. So anyone 17 and under can be a part of a different aspect of NaNoWriMo. So you, like, as a teacher, I could have my students participate in that as their writing class if they were in creative writing, and they could kind of work on building their own novel. So have either of you ever participated in NaNoWriMo?
Yes. I tried last year and it failed. I failed miserably. I was, like, really good for the first week, and then after that, it all went downhill from there.
I've lost NaNoWriMo for the past, like, 4 years. And, like, spectacularly lost. First 2 days. So I'm terrible at it. And yet every year I come back and I'm like, no, this is going to be the year. I'm going to spend October plotting out my novel. And it's already October 6th. And I've been like, okay.
So how do you guys go about it? Because I've never, like, I have an account there, but I've never tried it. Like, I just don't know. I don't know if I'd be able to do it.
Well, for me, I'm a plotter. So if I want to tell a story, I want to know in my head what it's going to go and what's going to happen before I actually tell it. Because I can't just start writing and then making up things. Because, like, well, I could, but I don't like doing that. So last year I was just, like, plotting it out, and then I didn't plot out enough, so when I was writing it, I was kind of confused as to what was happening. So that's what I do.
Yeah, I have started in the past with vague to somewhat sketched out ideas, and then found myself in the process of starting. Like, you don't realize how much information you learn in the first, I don't know, whatever, 50 pages of a novel. Like, you're basically making the rules for everything. Like, it could literally be a memoir, and you're still writing the rules of that experience. because, like, I would find myself, like, needing a name for someone and being like, oh, crap, this is a character now. Like, this person is here and they exist, and I had known nothing about them other than their name. Or, like, a magic system, or, like, yeah, it was all very, very scary. So this year, I have an idea that I've been, like, teasing over in my head for a while, and I need to, like, hash it out and try and do as much. I agree with Kyle. Like, I don't know how people would pants a NaNoWriMo, because it's, like, terrifying to me. Like, that's probably why I've failed in the past, because of that just overwhelming, like, terror of freedom, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I know a lot of people plan, like, the entire month of October, because technically you're not supposed to start writing until November. Like, everything is supposed to be from scratch. But really, if you want to write a novel, it's about writing a novel. However you choose to use the tools that they give you is your choice. Do you know what I mean? Because let's face it, 50,000 words isn't typically a novel. It's the start of a novel. It's the rough draft of a novel. But it's not a complete novel. So also, I think it's a great starting block for everybody, and that it serves a purpose, because if it keeps you motivated and you do get 50,000 words on paper, they're not going to be pretty, first of all, but at least you have it and it's something to work with.
Well, that's the key with NaNoWriMo, that what you write is not going to be good, and that's something that's really difficult to, especially for me. Like, I'm a huge perfectionist. I edit as I write. Awful. And when you're writing, and you because you just have to churn out those, you know, 1600 words or whatever a day, it's not going to be pretty, and your dialogue might suck, and your characters might be, like, striving for two-dimensional, and it's really hard to kind of keep the faith, you know, that you have something that's worth working on when you can't go back and fix the dialogue because you just don't have time, and, you know, things like that. So that's, I think, part of the challenge also is having that it's only the first draft mentality.
Very, very true.
Jen, have you won NaNoWriMo ever?
No, I've never tried. Yeah, I've never tried.
We need a winner in this circle, man.
I know. We'll have to see. We'll have to get Karen in on board too, because I think Karen writes as well, but I'm not sure if she's ever done NaNo or not. And you guys who are listening, if you've ever done NaNo, please, and if you've ever won, especially, definitely leave comments in the podcast so we know, and who, if you're going to be participating, so that we can, like, check in and have our own little hypeable group on NaNo. I think that would be fun. Oh, can cheer each other on.
Woo! Go, everyone! Yay! I hope some of your characters die.
Yeehaw. Just keep it in mind when writing that Kyle does love the death of a good character, so.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Kyle, are you going to be trying NaNoWriMo this year?
Yes. I actually think I will, with a different idea than I had last year, so it's going to be all fresh.
Cool.
Excellent.
And so, someone's definitely going to die.
Shocker.
Oh, I know.
Big surprise there. Some things just to note about NaNoWriMo. A lot of it is, you know, who can participate? What does it mean to participate? So, like I said, the idea is to hit 50,000 words in a month. This is the minimum you need to write daily in order to hit that mark. 1,666 words per day is over 30 days. If you choose to work with only during the week and not on the weekends, so like Monday through Friday, it's 2,300 words per day. And if you only choose to work on the weekends, then it's approximately 6,000 words per day. So that's kind of how it breaks down. Just something to keep in mind when you're trying to plan out how you're going to write and when you're going to write. And if you start to skip days, that it's kind of intense. Like, I don't know. That's a lot of words.
Yeah, it's like almost doable, almost, if you like do it every single day and you don't skip a day. But once you skip that one day, you're, oh god.
Something I've found with NaNo is that I'll be, you know, writing, and I'll be like, oh yeah, this is great. How many words do I have? I have 500 words, and then it's like, oh wow, like the scope of it becomes very apparent very quickly. And I think it's easy to to say, like, oh yeah, you know, that's just fine, you know, every day. And then the practice of it gets so scary. And yeah, but I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to see if, like, writing for Hypable has helped, you know, in terms of, like, word production and things like that. I don't know.
I think Hypable will have helped a little bit, at least.
Oh, writing for Hypable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, homing that's your true. Skills and stuff.
Well, that's true. If you think about how quickly we have to produce words on some days, mm-hmm. like, for a story, in a storybook, we have to have, you know, 200-300 words in, like, the fastest time possible. So, but see, with that sort of thing, you have information to work off of. So I guess if you have an outline, it'll be significantly easier than if you're like, oh, hey, I'm just going to sit and write today. I can't imagine doing that. I really can't.
Right? Like, what if you run out of ideas and now you're like, oh, I don't know what to do now.
They also have, like, support group style things. Like, you can
They have pep talks, right? That's what part of the site. Like, the website has lots of cool stuff on it. They have different, like, areas. So there's, like, a forum. There's a pep talk area. I know a lot of areas do, like, live, like, in-person, go sit in a library and write all day to support each other kind of thing. So
when you said support group,
you know, and, like, you can, like, there'll be a group of people that are like, okay, we're meeting here, and everybody comes with their computers and writes.
When you said support groups, I was like, NaNoWriMo AA? Or like, what?
Like... Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Obviously, Kyle, obviously. So one thing about NaNoWriMo is that we, as you know, it does, at the end, if you do finish, you're supposed to have 50,000 words that can be a novel at some point in time. So there are some actual NaNoWriMo books that came out as published novels, and a couple of them were actually New York Times bestsellers. Have you guys heard of a little novel called The Night Circus by Aaron Morgenstern?
Yeehaw! Kyle? Yeah.
Well, that actually came out of two different NaNo sessions of writing. So she wrote one section over one NaNo, and then the second NaNo she wrote a different section, and then when everything came together, it became The Night Circus. And obviously we know how that turned out. It was published, it was a New York Times bestseller, it was optioned for film. So that's a huge success story coming out of NaNo. Another one is The Compound by S.A. Bodine. And it's a tale of a family that's locked away in an underground bunker. And in 2009, it received the Bank Street Award for Best Children's Book of the Year. So that's another huge success story coming out of NaNo. What else? Do you guys know of any others?
Yes. I'm going by this list that we have. I'm cheating. Persistence of Memory by Amelia Atwater Rhodes. It was published a couple years ago, and it was about a teen who suffers from an alter ego. And the alter ego might actually be a vampire who is thousands of years old. So, I mean, I can totally understand how someone would think that up during a NaNoWriMo. I was like, oh, I just want to write this. And then it turns into a novel.
Yeah, that is kind of a unique tale.
Yeah.
I'm like, crazy vampire, obviously.
Right.
Excellent. So clearly there have been, I think the stats are that there are, out of all the years that NaNo has existed, there have been only 200 books that have been picked up and published traditionally. That doesn't account for the books that were published like by self-publishing and stuff like that. That only accounts for traditional publishing. So it's kind of a really small percentage, but I think in the end it's about knowing that you can complete something. Because completing 50,000 words in a month is huge. It's a huge success, whether it's the complete story, whether, you know, you need to heavily edit it or not, the fact that you even did it is a big deal. So I think that's really important to talk about and make sure everyone gets.
When people write the novel and they're like, they finish NaNoWriMo and they actually succeed in writing 50,000 words and they're like, oh, I want to get this published. Now, like, is this something where, like, publishing houses just do not look at NaNoWriMos that are not edited and not completed? Like, or can you go up to
Well, traditionally, what you should do if you want to be published by a house is you should get an agent first. Like, traditionally. You can send in your manuscripts, but they end up in a slush pile. And it's, you know, there are stories of things being pulled from slush piles, but at the same time, it's unlikely. And the other thing is right after Nano, publishing houses get this huge influx of novels because everyone finished their NaNoWriMo. And so you really need to take the time to edit it and to look at it and look it over, adjust, maybe have a beta reader and, you know, go through it before you do anything with it. Because you just wrote 50,000 words in a month. They're not going to be perfect. Not that they ever will be perfect, but they could probably be a little bit better.
Well, I'm going to go out and be mean and say that you would have to be an absolute idiot to send your freshly written NaNo to anyone.
There's a little tough love for you, right?
If anyone has done that, we love you still.
Yes, but I hope you have the experience not to do that because it's, you know, I think it's a good rule for writers in general. I mean, like, I think what they, I don't remember if they recommend this on the site because I, you know, I get the emails, but I kind of like only skim them after I've given up inevitably. But I think they say like, take time off, you know, you have to let that stuff sit, let it drain out of your mind for a bit before you go back and look at it and like take stock of what you've accomplished, you know? And in terms of also like the number of actual books that started as NaNo that have been published, like I think that's less the point than like that fact that you can accomplish it, you know. So like someone might not get their book that started as a NaNoWriMo published, but they might get another book that they were inspired to write because of that published. You know, it's not always quantifiable by like, you know, how I learned how to fly starting as a NaNoWriMo and becoming a published book. You know, it's a very interesting, like complicated process scenario thing that is, yeah. I mean, it's interesting that it's become like this like cultural, like powerful thing, you know, that we all kind of are like, ooh, look at that. And like, connecting things to it. But it's this whole like web. I don't know. I haven't had coffee yet.
No, I get that. Like, but I just think it's interesting. I think it's good for people to understand that if this is their first time going into it, that the likelihood of getting a novel published out of this right away, even, you know, even at all, isn't high. Like, people should understand that. And that's also only people who are actually saying that they participated in NaNo and then, you know what I mean? Like, some people might not own up to participating in NaNo and then trying to publish their novel. So again, it depends on what you're... Those are just the statistics that were given. It's not like a definitive either way. It's just something to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. All right, so moving on from NaNo. And like I said, if you guys are participating in NaNo, make sure you definitely leave stuff in the comments so that we know and we can cheer you on and keep you motivated, hopefully. We promise we'll be nice. Promise. Right, Mikhail?
Yeah,
I'm just teasing. Mm-hmm. Marvin's not here, it's fine.
He's stupid. That's all I think.
So we're going to move into some book news right now. And Kyle, you have some more book news on J.K. Rowling. Because, you know, what's a week without book news on the Queen?
Right? I mean, really, it's crazy. So it turns out that Warner Brothers has decided to buy the rights for other J.K. Rowling books, like Quidditch Through the Ages and Beetle of the Bard. So that's going to be really exciting.
I'm so surprised that happened. Actually, I am, because I thought that they'd already bought that.
Oh, I know. But, like, still, like, they've officially, like, gotten the rights to it. So now they have all this extra material that they can work with. And whether it's just to improve the first movie or to, like, add on an extra series on top of, like, Fantastic Beasts, we don't know yet, but it's awesome because now there's a possibility of, like, several more Harry Potter-related movies.
Cool.
Excellent. Very fun. All right, so let's talk a little bit about some books that we are looking forward to coming out this fall. Do you guys have some books that have yet to be released that you just can't wait to come out and read?
Allegiant.
Allegiant?
Yes.
Yes. Oh boy.
That sounds familiar, but
is that a popular book? Should we know about it?
It's about this dystopian thing. I mean, I don't know, it's kind of been, you know, dystopia. That's it.
So Allegiant. So yeah. So there's that small little item coming out. So do you guys have any, like, thoughts on Legion, on things that you think might happen during this final book?
I mean, do you really want to know what I think is going to happen?
Of course I do. I wouldn't ask if I didn't want to know. And if you guys don't want to know, now would be a good time to mute.
Well, if you don't want to know what Kyle thinks is going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking death and threesomes.
I'm thinking death. I'm going to negate the threesomes. Go ahead. I'm thinking a couple different things. Because it is told from two characters' perspectives, it's told from Four and Triss, which is a really interesting choice to make in a third book. I think that Four and Triss have to be separate. They have to be separated at some point. Or at some point, one of them is either unconscious or dies. Because why else would you tell a third and final book from split perspective?
Yeah, that would make sense.
So my vote is Triss bites it, but that's just me.
I think that would be an awesome ending. I'm just saying.
I thought you would.
Not even, like, joking. Like, I actually... because you see, the reason I like death so much is that, like, every novel and every, like, action story always ends up with this happy little ending that's so unrealistic, and, like, the hero always freaking wins. And I'm like, the hero does not always win. I just want, like, a good story that's, like, awesome throughout the entire series and then has a realistic ending. So that's why I think Triss dying would actually make sense.
So yeah, I don't know. That's kind of how I feel about it. Like, something big has to happen like that, because I don't understand why else we would split point of views so late in the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Unless, like, do you think she might have gotten pushed by her, like, publisher or by her, like, fans or something to be like, we want something from Four's point of view?
Well, no, because all the novellas are from Four's point of view.
Oh, that's true.
And that's the other thing, is there's this whole set of novellas that are also involved that are all from Four's point of view. So I don't know. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on it, Mikhail, of what you think might happen?
It would make sense that Triss would die. Like, I could see her doing that. I don't know. It's interesting. It would be unique, definitely, for, you know, a dystopian book about a girl to end with that girl's death. You know, I don't know. On the other hand, like, the feminist in me is a little bit like, well, that's disempowering, but I don't know. I feel like Four would be so maudlin if she died. It would be like, I don't know. People in YA novels, and I say this with deep, deep love, don't always have the best, like, coping skills. So it's a little bit like when something bad happens, they shut down completely. And I don't know. I could see Four just, like, losing it.
Maybe it's a Romeo and Juliet style story where she bites it and he loses it and he kills himself.
Oh, damn. That would be
like your perfect novel, wouldn't it, Kyle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what are we going to do with you?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, man. I will say that the stakes seem very high, and that's interesting.
Yeah, very much so.
It's almost, if you guys kind of, like, I don't know if you guys have ever read the City of Ember, but this is totally starting to look exactly like City of Ember, where they're, like, hidden away from all of the community for, like, their entire lives, and then they have to come out of the ground and be like, hey guys, we've been here the entire time. Anyone?
No.
Oh. Dang it. No. Well, if any listener gets what I'm saying, let me know.
Okay. Another really big book coming out in November. This one actually does come out in November. I just double checked. On November 5th is Champion by Marie Lu.
Yes. That's exciting.
And that one, I think, is going to be super, super exciting. I can't wait to read that one.
Yeah. When I interviewed her at Comic-Con, and Marie is, like, super, super sweet. And she was like, and so I was like, you know, you put your characters through a lot in this book. Like, could it really get any worse? And she was like, oh, well. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess the answer to that is yes.
Wait. So as someone who doesn't know anything about Mary Lou or Champion, what is this?
It's a dystopian type story set in, like, a militarized Los Angeles. And there's basically, like, there's this girl named June who is, like, sort of like an Ender character. She's like one of the Republic's like top military prodigies, and her test scores that everyone has to take are like totally off the charts. And, you know, she's like really indoctrinated in this culture. And then there's this boy named Day who is like the Republic's like top wanted criminal. And he's like a sort of revolutionary. He like sabotages a lot of military establishments, and he has this whole mysterious history. And the book is like told from both of their points of view. And then they kind of end up, what happens is that Day is framed for June's brother's murder. So she kind of gets like obsessed with hunting him down, and then they kind of collide. And it's interesting. Like, it's the type of books that like, you don't always realize like how much you like it until you finish and you're like, oh wait, no, I really enjoyed that. That was a really good book. I want more. So yeah, I really okay. do. Yeah.
Hmm. Sounds interesting.
I think you would yeah. like it.
Okay, I must add it onto my never-ending growing pile of books.
Excellent. Also coming out really soon, actually this week, this Tuesday, is The Darkest Minds, the next book in The Darkest Minds, which is Never Fade. So oh. that comes out soon. Oh, actually, wait. That one comes out the 15th, I think. Hold, please. I keep getting my books confused because I'm looking at a huge list of them. Yeah, that one comes out the 15th.
Jesus.
So 2 weeks.
That is the book that is currently sitting under my laptop right now to, as a desk stand.
Yeah.
What? I'm just saying, like...
So yeah. So that comes out, and that kind of that book kind of left us on a big cliffhanger. We don't know really what's happened to everybody, so it'll be really interesting, I think, to see what happens next in that series.
Should we like read it and discuss it, because that was our first book hype?
We probably should. I think everyone has a copy because we got them at BEA. They gave them to us for everyone, so you should all have a copy. Also coming out in October, and this one does come out on Tuesday or today, depending on when you're listening. This one is the latest book from Lauren DiStefano. It's her brand new series called Perfect Ruin, and it's got kind of an interesting concept. About a dream world and a floating city. So I'm kind of curious to see what that one's all about. That comes out this week. I feel like the fall is the best time for new books. Like, it's just this huge amount of new stuff that's usually really, really good. So it's kind of exciting.
Yeah. Oh, there's also this week, The Broken Hearted by Amelia Kihane.
Yes, yes.
Debut.
That one looks really cool. I like the cover of that book. It's really funky.
Yeah.
Who's that by?
Amelia Kihane.
Okay.
Or I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but I think that's it. Yeah. And we'll be having a review of that go up, and also a very special thingy.
Yay, thingy.
A surprise. Also coming out in November, on November 26th, is the third book in the Katie McGarry series of like their contemporaries, and it's Crash Into You, and I love her stuff. It is so very kind of realistic and edgy, and I love it. I love the way she writes. It's very real. It's very powerful. So if you guys are into contemporary or want to try some new contemporary, I suggest that you guys try some Kate McGarry. These characters are ones that we've met throughout a series. So the first book in the series was Pushing the Limits. The second book is Dare You To. And the third book is Crash Into You. And that one comes out November 26th. And it's about three separate friends that are kind of all part of the foster system. And they're high school kids. And, you know, it's not easy, but they're really, really well-written stories. So definitely check those out. And let's see what else is coming out. There's just so much. I never know what to pick and to talk about. Wild Cards is also another contemporary novel. It's by Simone. I always say her last name wrong. It's Simone Echolese, I think is how you say it. And she's another one who writes these really kind of grittier, realistic contemporary novels. I don't think you can get much more real than what she puts out there. She's a really cool author. Her first set of books, the Perfect Chemistry books, were set in Chicago, and they were about gang members. And it's not something I would typically read, but once you start reading them, you realize how like well done they are, and how like you get so invested in the characters. They're very character driven novels. Obviously they're contemporary, so they should be, but I mean they're really well thought out and well planned. And I spoke to her once, and she said she actually goes and spends time with like gang members in their neighborhood to make sure that she can get the vibe right of what she's writing, to make sure that it feels right and that it is real and that she's describing things the right way. So, I mean, she's pretty hardcore when it comes to research for her novels.
That
so
is I think that's crazy. Really cool.
Yeah.
Oh my
and if
goodness.
If you ever meet her, she's like, and she'll even tell you, she's like, I'm this Jewish woman writing about, you know, Latino gang members. And she is. And it's so funny. But she gets it right, I think, in a lot of ways. And it's, her novels are really, really intense and really just well done. So that's another set of books that it's definitely, her new series is Wild Cards. And they've been doing webisodes for those that started about 2 weeks ago. So that book, I think, comes out Tuesday as well. So it'll be really interesting, I think, to see how people receive Wild Cards. Any other thoughts or books you guys want to talk about?
I feel like I have other things, but I don't remember what they are right now. But I think it's a really exciting time for books right now, and especially YA. And, oh, Dreams of Gods and Monsters. When is that coming out again?
Oh, not for a while.
Yeah.
Like next summer.
Oh, yeah, April. Ooh, I need to get an arc of that if I can.
Yeah, I was mean. I had Laura read them or listen to them. She's been listening to them on audio. And she's like, are you kidding me? When does it come out? I'm like, not for a while now.
What is this?
It's the Lainey Taylor series. What's the first one called? It's got the blue feather mask on the cover.
Daughter of Smoke and Bone.
Yes, Daughter of Smoke and Bone, Blood and Starlight, and then the last one is Gods and Monsters. Yeah. And the covers are stunning. You would love them, Kyle. There's death.
Yeah. Oh, yay!
You would adore them.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, there's death, but, like, with a twist, and they're insanely, like, gothic, and...
They're so cool. They're set in Prague, but they're just... so amazingly written. I love them.
Yeah. Oh my like goodness. And also the mythology of these books is like you like have to sit back and be like, how did she come up with this? Like it's so intricate and like well thought out and strange, like totally unlike anything else. Like you it's not like the most like pleasant read and that you're not like, oh, I'm warm, fluffy. It's like but it's not, at the same time, it's not like Game of Thrones, like, gritty. It's just, like, weird, but in a really, really good way. And I'm not so into weird. So it's, like, it's really, oh really good.
It's really cool. There's a lot of things that you don't normally see in YA literature in the novels. And then there's like, angels, but they're not your typical angels. And it's fantastic.
Jesus, yeah. This sounds, like, amazing. What is the first book again? I'm sorry.
The Daughter of Smoke and Bone.
Daughter of Smoke and Bone. I thought you said Smoke and Bone. I was like, where is it? Okay. Now I have to go look that up and buy it.
Yeah, or, oh, yeah, you don't listen to audio. Because on audio, they're amazing. But anyway.
Yeah, I'll read it.
Yeah, does anyone have anything else to talk about?
Well, funny thing about Daughter of Smoke and Bone is that the boy hero is called Akiva. And my brother's name is Akiva. And it's not a particularly common name, especially in, like, the general literary world.
Yeah.
So I literally, like, jumped when I read it the first time. I was like, what? There's an Akiva. And, like, Akiva in the books is not my Akiva brother, so.
Yeah. That was
it's very odd.
That was exactly how I felt when I read Two Boys Kissing, and one of the characters' name was Tarek, and he was also a gay guy, and I'm like, really? Like, out of all the novels I read, there's someone with the same name as me, and he's gay? Like, what is this?
Representation, man. When it happens, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I was just thinking about that, because I was like, I really want a Jewish character on Marvel, on, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I'm like, it'll never happen, because there are no Jews in speculative fiction on TV, but I really want one. You can cut that out. That was totally nonsense.
That's okay. Okay, so does anyone have anything else that we want to talk about today? So that about wraps it up for this episode of Book Hype. Again, leave us comments, questions, concerns in the comment section of the podcast. We're happy to talk and chat. Same on Twitter. You can always reach out to us at Book Hype. And we will typically respond because they're all of us are on the Twitter stream, so you never know who you're going to get when you tweet at Book Hype.
ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha. It could be any of us. The snarkier, it's probably Marima. I'm just throwing it out there. But thank you guys again for listening, and we'll be back next week. You guys, I'm Jen.
I'm Mikhail.
And I'm Kyle.
Bye, guys.
Bye.